welcome to Revue Study Go.
Thank you.
The podcast where we hit the road through rural Norfolk to meet vicars at the heart of village life. Although we're cheating a bit today because we're not actually in a village. We are in a town.
Yes.
But it's a rural town.
It is.
Called Wotton.
That's correct, yes.
And we are with the Reverend Dave Cossey. Quite confusing because your surname is a place.
It is, and we're both Rev Daves as well.
We're both Rev Daves.
Adds more confusion.
We're already confused, but we're in Wotton, and but your church is effectively in a field.
It's next to a field, I would say. But yes,
sorry,
very close to a field. We're actually a little way out of town, but we have a lovely car park. So when everybody comes to join us, we can bring everybody in very easily.
It is a beautiful car park and I enjoyed parking it. You've got some new fencing going up as well.
We have, because they've also built a new pathway down the edge of the road since you last came here.
It's all changed here.
It's very, very impressive.
It's very exciting. So, and I did pass two tractors on the way here and I followed a livestock trailer. So
that's,
I think it qualifies as rural.
I think so. And I think I know what that livestock trailer and where it was going.
Oh.
Yes. Just down the end of Wotton, very likely.
And what happens down there?
Actually, that's an interesting link because that has been a big part of the change of the town over the last few years. So you have Cranswick Farm Foods down the end. It's a big processing factory of which has brought in a huge amount of employment into the local town. You'll find that a large number of the increase in the population actually comes through the employment that provides.
Right.
And so we do get those lorries coming past our house every day.
So and a farm factory, is that what I think it is?
It is. I'm putting
they go
it
in
very,
as they pigs go and come out as sausages.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
interesting
very true.
Term. I did pass the farm factory.
The farm factory, yeah. I made that one up on the spot, actually, so that you can call it what you like.
Well, it is great to be here. And we are sitting inside Wotton Church, which is St. Mary's Church.
Correct.
Which is a beautiful space. It has a real sense of community. It's kind of almost in the round, isn't it, how you meet. And I do think you have some of the best mod cons as churches go. You've got...
Thank you very much.
I can see a lot of great contemporary kit hidden amongst the pillars.
It is.
There's a digital camera up there.
That is, yes, indeed.
It looks chunky. And there's, you got these TV screens on the walls and you got a lovely condenser mic by the pulpit.
You know your stuff.
Bits and pieces.
You probably know more about it than I do, actually, to be fair.
It looks like a really lovely place to meet and worship. So if you've never been in, do come and have a look.
Absolutely.
And Dave, I would love to know about your... So were you born a vicar? What? How did this happen?
No, I didn't come out of the womb as a vicar. No, that didn't happen. And in fact, probably when I was young, it was about the last thing on the agenda. I grew up in a Christian family, so I'm very grateful to both my parents for the influence that they held when I was young. But my relationship to church when I was younger was hot and cold at best, shall we say?
Okay.
And particularly through my teenage years. And I think some of that was due to some of the changes in the church. It was an Anglican church, and I would say there was a lot that was good there, but as things changed there, so did I. And I was probably about 14 years old when I stopped attending at the church for a number of years, until I was about 17, 18 years old when I decided to re-explore.
What happened when you were 17, 18?
Interesting question. A lot of questions in the back of my mind, I think.
Right.
I think there was a lot of seeds that were sown of faith when I was young. And at that point in time, I think I had a certain grasp on the love of God, but not really understanding what that meant for me. What kind of response should I have to that? So I took the opportunity to step back into church and to explore that for myself, and had some interesting first experiences in church as I started off. And it wasn't actually until some years later that I felt that call to become a vicar. But, that was
and
part
was
of the process.
There a slam dunk moment when you thought, you know what, I need to become a vicar. I think God is knocking on the door.
Interesting.
Or was it a gradual seeping?
There's probably a little bit of both.
Seepage and slam dunk.
Yeah. So I was involved with mission work full-time overseas for a number of years, which I think were probably building blocks that led up to that. Not something I thought that I would end up eventually, but it's what happened. And it was on returning to the UK, I started to explore it for the first time. I think the sort of slam dunk moment was probably at an event called Step Forward, which I believe is still happening, where those who are interested in exploring ordination can go as a group together to do so. And in the most bizarre sort of moment that I never saw coming, there was an anointing of oil on people for those who were really feeling that sense of, you know, wanting to deeply explore whether ordination was right for them. And in that moment, it was like a voice in my head of God saying, it is actually time for you to stop exploring and to start stepping forward. So, yeah.
So did what it said on the tin.
It actually did. I haven't really considered that much before now.
I wonder if they run a course called Step Backwards.
I hope not. I wouldn't go. No.
Let's not go there. Okay. So that's amazing. And did you, have you always been in rural Norfolk? Did you begin somewhere else?
Or? No. So, I mean, I grew up in Norwich, so I'm a Norfolk boy. So I think Norwich is a bit different to Norfolk in the sense of the culture there a little bit. There's obviously some crossover.
Bright lights.
Bright lights, electricity, all sorts of things. It's amazing. It has spread.
Best farm factories.
There are. You can buy your meat in Norwich as well. Yeah. It's amazing. But yeah, no, I grew up in Norwich and went to a city school and sort of had that upbringing. But actually, when I first came to my own faith at about 17, the first thing I did was actually leave the country.
Wow.
And went overseas to serve there for a few months in Africa and then on to Asia. So I spent a lot of time outside of Norfolk before coming back and realizing actually how much I loved it and how much I'd missed it, especially the sort of rural elements of Norfolk life are incredible. And I think we take it for granted a lot of the time, but just the beauty of our surroundings, especially on days like today with the sun shining, it's incredible. So
a few quick fire questions, not all of them sensible.
Okay. I'll try to be not sensible in my response then.
If a hedgehog wandered into morning prayer, how would the congregation react?
Well, I think they would be very happy. I think he would be taken in, he'd be cared for, he'd be fed, and probably just become one of us very quickly.
Brilliant. Mm. If your church had a motto written in neon lights on the tower, what would it say?
Oh, I'd hope it would be love God, love one another.
Fantastic. If your parish had a theme tune, what would it be?
Wow. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the A-Team, but I'm not sure it would get necessarily much approval, but you'll have to ask them.
Okay, if a famous movie was filmed in your village or in Wotton, what kind of film would it be? And what role would your parishioners play?
What kind of, if there was a famous film, what would it be?
Filmed in your village in Wotton.
I really don't know.
Would it be a murder mystery?
I think it probably would. I was trying to think of one that was filmed across in, where was it? Which actually featured some parish life in. You're going to have to remind me.
Is it like Midsummer Murders and... Or Grantchester.
Grantchester, that was the one. Yes, because I know of someone who was in our training college who was actually a vicar in Grantchester and often saw it filmed there and talked a bit about that experience.
Exciting.
For them. So yeah, hopefully something that would just kind of cover the day-to-day life and interactions, relationships here. And hopefully there'd be a few sort of mysterious events along the way. I'm hoping not murder, because that's quite difficult pastorally.
You'd be very busy.
I would be very busy, yeah.
And I think a bad film here would be Jaws.
Oh, okay, I see where you're going with this now.
Because there is no
scene. So we're actually referring to films, are we? Okay. I mean, the first thing that came to mind was The Matrix, but I think you'd struggle to make it work in Wotton, actually.
Oh. Okay.
Sort of a parallel reality that's going on all around us.
Yeah. Oh, that's frightening.
There we go.
It would maybe be called What on Earth?
What?
And it would be, yeah, really bewildering film.
Okay. Utterly bizarre. So
bizarre
film. You wouldn't know what you've actually watched by
no,
the end of it.
By the end, you'd be mystified.
Right.
If you had a curate, a trainee vicar with you, and they were asking you, what are the keys to unlocking fruitfulness in rural ministry in your church?
Okay.
What do you think they are? What have you found?
Relationship is crucial. So I think one of the things that sets you apart in rural ministry, whether it's like deeply rural or like this sort of a semi-rural context, is actually just really knowing people well around you. So even like yesterday, I was going through Tesco. We have a Tesco, you see, we're not completely rural.
Wow.
We have a Tesco and a Lidl now. They came when we first arrived. So I think that was,
That's huge.
To welcome us in.
Yeah.
But when I was going through Tesco yesterday, I bumped into the former head from one of the schools and had a bit of a catch up and a chat there over the till with my kids there as well. So that was fun. But things like that, where you're willing to just slow down.
Buying the right food.
What was I buying?
Was anything you were embarrassed about?
I don't think so. I think it was broccoli, butter, and toothpaste.
Solid.
Yeah, that wasn't all for the meal. That was separate events. But yeah.
There you go, kids. There's tea time. Stop complaining.
That's right. It's good for you. It's good for your teeth.
It does everything.
Don't eat it all at once. So anyway, yeah, relationship is really important. So getting in amongst people's lives, in the places like the schools and the homes, also on the streets talking with people, and the requests that come to you, which can be sometimes rather bizarre, you know, consider all of them and have good conversations and see where people are coming from. They're usually hungry for something of connection. And so being willing and available to that as best you can is really key. Yeah.
And are you a one size fits all type of church? Are you mixed ecology, lots of different expressions? What does that look like, and how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we're very mixed actually in a lot of different ways. And it's been interesting watching as the congregation has changed. So we've been here 2.5 years and we've seen a number of new faces that have come in, which has sort of changed our approach a little bit in regards to that. I think because we have typically 4 to 5 Sundays, of which the first and third Sunday is more traditional, and we focus on Holy Communion. And the second and fourth Sundays, we have a band, a more contemporary worship, and a focus on God's Word in it. And fifth Sunday, when it's there, we do a cafe church, which we've just done recently. So we kind of have a full blend, and like in the traditional, we do things with choir and, you know, more traditional liturgy as well as part of that. What has surprised us has been that as the diversity in the church has increased, we've had a number of people who've come in from the Anglican Communion from Africa. Wow. And it's been some of the richest introduction into our life. And often they're the kind of the younger families as well. And they've come from an inheritance of something more traditional. And so we've, whereas I thought we would be going perhaps to consider something more contemporary as we go forwards, it's actually been important to keep cluing into that as well. So it's interesting where God can take your church sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's so good. And that builds on relationship, as you've been saying, and listening to what God's doing and who he's sending you and how to shape worship around that.
Yes.
I do need a stopwatch for this. Oh, right. We have a little challenge.
Okay. Very good. Do I have to get up or can I stay seated?
No, you can stay seated. That's good news. It depends if you need a kind of a stance for this.
Right.
But you shouldn't.
I feel like I'm on the end of a joke here.
No. It's a homemade challenge. So the Revy Study Go challenge is I'm going to time how quickly you can name all the villages in your benefice or area. Okay, ready, study, go.
Watton and Carbrook, done.
Oh, it's cheating.
Is that it?
2 seconds, 21. I think we're going to top of the leaderboard.
Okay.
We'll proportionately
Should I just
adjust.
Say it slowly this time? Yeah. Would that help?
Yeah, that would be more helpful. But yeah, there it is. Just verifying the results. 2.21.
Yeah, about 1 second per parish. Brilliant. Yeah. Well done.
Brilliant. Well, that's the end of that game. Okay, how do you balance the spiritual, admin, and pastoral demands?
Oh, wow, that's on a different tone. Okay.
Of your role. Because they're sort of like one man, one person band, aren't they, sometimes?
Can be, yeah. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is delegation, as much as one can. So very grateful to have a church administrator who helps a lot with this. Pastoral and spiritual with the two others. And it does kind of go down that same theme of the importance of team, working together with others. So even just before this meeting, I came across some information of someone who now seems to be really quite unwell. And I didn't realize that until just this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And immediately there was two people who've gone off to go and see them as a result, which is really great. And actually, you need to have people around you who can meet urgency as well as yourself being involved with that. So I think that's really key. The spiritual is both collective and individual. So actually marking the start of every day is really important, and giving that space to just bring before God everything I've got before getting going. And that can take a whole number of different forms, but it's just important to make the space and invite his presence into everything we're going to do, everything I do and with others as well. I think it's really great to say we've just had a prayer meeting here where we've just gone through a whole series of things in the life of the church and actually just inviting God in to say, what is your plan for us for going ahead? And to just keep asking that question and keep seeking what he wants for us as a group of people. And it's encouraging. And I thanked everybody at the end of the meeting just to say thanks for your encouragement. So those things can be, they sound very small and insignificant, but actually when you've got a regular rhythm of people around you, it can make a big difference in and how you feel uplifted spiritually.
Excellent. So being a vicar, you obviously only work on Sundays. What do you do for the rest of the week?
Oh, yeah, it's just 6 days off and one
clean
day
your
on.
Car,
absolutely.
Gardening.
I have a friend who says if they had a pound for every time that was said to them, they would be a millionaire. And unsurprisingly, they are also a vicar as well.
And a millionaire.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe he just hasn't shared that part with me. Right. Well, so the other days of the week, it really depends week by week what it looks like. Some of the things are going to be a bit more routine and expected. So every Monday in this space, we have a toddler group that we run. So I'm involved in that and helping to lead that. We have a midweek service that we run on Wednesdays, as well as the Sunday stuff. We have various sort of missional groups that run throughout the week, including a youth group, which I'm part of, serve as a trustee on a few different groups as well. And that actually ties in to the context here, because in Wharton, I think is an incredible town, but it's a town where I think because of all the changes in recent years, people have struggled to know what their identity is. And it has reached a point where now we fall under the bottom 20% in the deprivation index here, and now just across from us in our other parish, the bottom 10% in Carbrook. So
there was some unfortunate press about Wharton, wasn't
yes,
there?
Yes, probably. Yes,
Google.
Just recently. Oh, yes. So you've
worst
seen this.
Place to
so there was a TikTok video, wasn't it?
Yes. That's
yes.
It.
And I saw the local response to it, which was actually really encouraging.
Right. What
so
did they say?
So there was, I think there was one reference in that to one of the local businesses in town being a gadget shop, which was actually like an general electrical goods store.
Yeah.
And the response was a video of someone putting Inspector Gadget on there and talking about all their new gadgets that they had in. And actually a lot of people really kind of got around it and said, you know what, like, it's nonsense, this person knows nothing about the area and the good of it
and just for those who haven't seen the TikTok video,
yes,
it was saying what
one of the worst towns was
in the UK
in Norfolk, I
in
think
Norfolk, okay,
as far as I'm aware,
right?
Yeah,
that's a contained blast.
I mean, there's a few towns, but yeah, you know, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, you know, going back to the original sort of point there, we want to be involved in as much as we can to, you know, champion what was good in the town and support those who are actually struggling as well. So we do have things like the local food bank, which several of us are involved in. I'm not personally too involved in it, but we did certainly have a big drive for that in the church. I think we've got 4 or 5 people from here who serve in charities like the Almshouses and Wharton Relief in Need, who just become aware of the things behind the scenes in people's lives. So there's often situations that you don't necessarily see when you walk down the street, but which you might be able to lend some support in. So things like that. Obviously, a lot of the stuff is, you know, feet on the ground, being out and involved in places like the local schools and the care homes, which we have some fantastic links with. The biggest problem we probably have is that there's more requests than what we have time to do things with. But we have, for example, 3 local schools in Wharton. Each of them have about 300 students, each in the 2 younger age categories in Wharton Westfields and Wharton Junior, and then a high school as well. But even there, you can see some of the diversity that comes from the town, where on Bishop Graham's recent visit, he was hit with a statistic that in Wharton Junior, 40% of the students there speak English as a second language, which is actually not typical Norfolk.
That is not typical
It's
Norfolk.
Not normal for Norfolk, no. In that sense, is it?
Abnormal for
abnormal
Norfolk.
Abnormal for Norfolk, not typical. But yeah, some of those things, you know, it's just about going out and being part of the community environment. So it's the kind of go and tell, getting out there and sharing the good news and sharing our faith in ways we can, and also the come and see the things that we run here through the church, from, you know, craft groups to games groups to movie nights and all sorts of different things. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so fast forward to Oblique. So this is a beautiful summer's day.
It is really beautiful. It's a shame you can't see it.
It's nearly hitting 30 degrees or something. Yeah. It's crazy hot out there. But I want to fast forward to think of the bleakest winter day, you know, when it's just horizontal rain and it's dark and the service is about to start and it's still dark outside. It's kind of 4 in the afternoon or whatever. And it's freezing.
Right.
What brings you hope in rural ministry? And let's say the church isn't full, you know, you're tired. Mm. You've had to work more than Sunday. Mm. And what kind of brings you hope? What sustains you in your ministry?
I think it's probably the same as when the sun is shining, to be honest with you, is when you see that transformation, lives changed by God. Which can happen on the small scale, in fact, often does happen on the small scale, and when numbers might be lower, as well as when they're higher. Seeing people connect to God for the first time and reconnect with Him when they haven't for a long time, and seeing the hope that's in their hearts and minds coming out and like radiating through them. I think that's without a doubt the biggest thing that keeps you going. Yeah.
Dave, what's it like? It's a vicarage life.
Yes.
Your
vicarage life,
living in a vicarage.
Okay, that's different.
It is different. Okay. A lot of people just live in different. What's it like living in a vicarage?
It's pretty good. I quite like it. It's a bit different to the rest of the town. We're a little bit tucked away, but we have a garden, as a lot of vicarages do. And we had to ask ourselves the question when we first arrived what we would do with that big garden that we don't know what to do with. And so what we've started doing a couple times a year is having a barbecue. And we invite people from the local church and some of those who are connected in mission and ministry.
I haven't had an invite.
Are you local?
No.
Well, there we go.
I'd like to be though.
Would you like me to share the date and time outside of the podcast? I will do so.
And is it right for me to ask, did the house have a bit of a reputation before you moved in?
Oh, gosh. The front garden did a little bit,
right?
In the sense that it was a place, because it's a little tucked back from the road, where you would find people would go to get drugs, where drugs were being dealt.
Okay, not ones you were selling.
That was before my time, Dave. Right. It was before my time here.
And how does that, in all seriousness, does that feel safe and for you and your family? And
it's important to have security lights as you come in. Occasionally, we have met a few people who we've had to have a few conversations with, and just saying, you know, why are you here? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
There's usually that question of, are you okay? Anything I can do to help you is quite helpful in those moments. Yeah.
Good vicar tip. Yeah. I hope everybody got that. Yeah, I do remember in the vicarage I used to live in, the neighbors opposite had CCTV, and which I didn't know. So I was slightly worried looking back over the last 5 years of ministry there, what they've actually recorded, but they did.
Wow, there's some stories
there. They
seemed
to cover our front drive and front garden and front door. But they did record a drug deal in the drive, and that actually led to a conviction, which was, I didn't know if I was more unnerved by the drug deal or the CCTV that was filming
recording
in front
everything
of our
you've
house.
Ever done. Yes.
Also, David, thinking about faith and what it means to you, if I was listening and I'm not a Christian, I'm just vaguely curious about all of this stuff. What would you say to someone who's looking to explore in some way or find meaning and for it to connect? Because surely the Bible's a dusty, old, irrelevant book, and surely church is about just being told when to stand up and sit down. And how is that going to make any difference to my daily struggle?
I think it's important to realize actually most people have a level of desire for a connection to God in one way or another. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a church-going Christian or anything like that to understand that there's something in all of us which makes us inquisitive as to the existence of God and what that means for our situation, our time, whatever we're going through. We meet a lot of people who do come through the doors on Sunday who are exploring and come and ask questions now. And actually recent surveys have shown, particularly in the younger generation, there are people who are coming through the doors and they're curious and they want to know You know, who is God who you claim him to be? I think anybody can pray wherever they are, and I think God answers prayers, so pray. I think the Bible is actually very relevant. I think reading from the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the stories of Jesus, is a great place to start. I think Jesus is the reason for why we meet and is what you should know and see when you come through into a church. So actually just going exploring, you may find Christians are actually more normal than you might expect. Not all of them, but most of them. So why not go and explore in a church? Why not pray? Why not read part of the Bible and see for yourself? I'd say go and explore. I don't think anything could be... You can't have any harm from having a go and exploring and seeing.
Taste and see. Give it a go.
Mm.
And there seems to be a lot of research around how we're hungry for community and we're hungry for transcendence.
Yeah.
And that because meaning. We live within this, what they call an imminent frame, a jam jar of life where we don't really seem to have answers to big problems, and we try to solve everything ourselves, and we go round and round in circles. And there's a bit of disillusionment about the project of progress, which doesn't seem to always make everything better. Yeah, it sounds like it's a really great idea to give it a go and to step into that. So my question is, heaven comes to what? And so the big picture in scripture is that we see renewal of all things in the end, that heaven and earth come together and there's transformation of all things through Christ. Big idea, isn't it? But what would it look like for Wotton? What do you think of when you think of more on earth as it is in heaven, more of that coming to this space, this place?
I think it'd be an image of restoration. I think particularly in areas like this where there is deprivation, you see a lot of brokenness. Some days that can be surface level, some days that can be very deep. That can be at times quite hard to work with. It's very important that we do. But you mentioned a question earlier about what fills you with hope. And actually, it's those moments when heaven does break in, actually, and you see little glimpses of it where people are lifted up out of difficult situations and they see God in different ways. I think seeing that just like a flood over everybody's lives. I think particularly broken relationships, seeing those restored. Mm. You see a lot of broken relationships, which can be hard when you see it on a quite a large scale.
Mm.
Seeing those which are broken actually come back together would be wonderful to see.
Mm. Amen.
Mm.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's been great to see Dave's church and to visit and to hear the inspiring things that he's doing. I would highly recommend a visit to St. Mary's Wotton. What an amazing, beautiful space and beautiful community. And if you feel like that hedgehog, you know you're going to get known, loved, and embraced if you wander in. And we look forward to seeing you in the pews.